Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Nair On Air radio program. Oh my gosh, who is this talking? It's not Jane Matnair. Amazing radio veteran Jane Matnair. No, it's Greg Bach. I'm Greg Bach. I am your host for today. Jane is off this morning, taking the day off, enjoying the start to a long holiday weekend. But I, Greg Bach, am your host for the next couple hours, and I'm happy to have you here, and I thank you for being here. And if you want to be part of the show, the Matt Nair On Air program on the Civic Media Radio Network, you can call in by calling 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can get on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or X or whatever you call it, Twix, and you can go on the live stream and join us as well. Big shout out to Sherry in Horicon. Hello, we see you on the live stream, and you can be given shout outs as well. Join us on the live stream for that. But it's not just me in the studio right now. That's the most important thing in the world. It's not just me. I have a co-host for, if I can bully him into full 2 hours, I would absolutely do it. But he's a strong man. He's a capable man. He's a fancy man. I got fancy Brian Kelly across from me. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Greg.
How are you today?
I am glorious. I'm having a beautiful time. And you know what? You wouldn't have to bully me for 2 hours. I love doing this stuff.
Okay.
I could do it the whole day.
Let's do
Problem is I have meetings and things like that and prep work. And
not anymore.
Well,
I just heard from Robert Radio. He says you got the day off.
Ah, yeah. Robert Radio.
Robert Radio. He invented radio.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I haven't been talking to Robert Radio in a while. So,
well, we appreciate you being on the show today.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here, dude. Yeah. I got in and I was like, this is the earliest I've been here in a while. This is amazing, and I really need to do this a lot more.
I agree. So, let's start off real simple. What are your plans for the weekend?
And
don't tell me work.
No.
Okay.
There's no work involved. We just pulled out our patio set.
Oh.
And last night I got tricked into by my wife to sit on the patio because our daughter was out of tumbling and her friend was going to drive her home, her friend's parents anyway.
Yeah.
They're 12. So I sat out on the patio and kicked back a couple and had a good time last night. So I think that's really what I'm going to do, that and some yard work.
Oh, yard work.
But like good yard work. I got the hard stuff out of the way. I dethatched my lawn last week by hand. With a dethatching rake. So like I still have.
With a scythe.
Yeah. Well, it's a mini scythe kind of. It's like, it's scythe-like.
Is it scythe adjacent?
Scythe adjacent, I would say. Okay. You could definitely kill someone with it. It's a steel rake, so.
Well, I know how you feel. Last weekend, I spent about 4.5 hours doing my yard, and I don't have a 4.5 hour size yard. It was so overgrown. My wife referred to it as the prairie.
Oh.
So it took about 2-3 swipes in the front and the back, and I finally got it done. And she was genuinely impressed to the point where I felt like, oh, she shouldn't be that impressed.
Well, if you hold back for long enough, then you unload the skill set. That's pretty good. Was it a no mow May type of thing?
No, it was just a no mow time.
No mow time. I totally understand that. I had and for a while the grass was just growing. I'd mow it, and then 2 days later it was 4 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. It was so much rain. We have a wonderful meteorologist here on Civic Media named Brittany Merlot, and Brittany had been telling us for months during the winter months that there was so little moisture in the ground because of the lack of snowfall, and then we weren't getting a lot of rain as well. So we were in a drought type of area in the state. And then like the last 2.5-3 weeks, I'm like, oh, that's done. Cause it was just raining nonstop. And every time I wanted to be home, every time I was home, I wanted to mow. Every time I was home, it rained. So yep. I can't do that. So Tony on the live stream very foolishly says, I expect a very serious policy discussion from the three of you today.
All right.
The three, Calvin, you ready for Calvin, by the way, everyone, this is Calvin Butenhoff on the board here. Calvin, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm ready to dive into our very serious policy.
Calvin, I have a policy, and that is that on any policy discussion that you should chime in.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Cause,
I'm ready.
Because here's the interesting thing is, so you know Calvin, you know him from our show, Matt and Air on Air, mm-hmm. but you also know him from Earl's show, the Earl Ingram show.
That's true.
And Earl and Calvin will talk. But there's a side of Calvin that I love that we don't get to see too often. And we call that spicy Calviente.
Oh.
Where his you know, the hackles get raised, the dander comes up, and he's like, oh, I just heard. He's got opinions. This man is a smart man.
And I never doubted that. That's why I recommended hiring him. On top of that, I like the spicy Calvin. I've heard spicy Calviente.
Yeah,
I like that word too. That's fantastic.
That's going on a jersey. If we ever get a softball or a pickup basketball team, it's going to be spicy Calviente. So
you've made it when you've got your own jersey, man.
Exactly. Now we have you on the show today, and I don't want to. You know, I know your time is precious here, so we want to just introduce a segment that when I'm hosting the show and you're on, so all those planets have to align. We have a segment we're calling Fancy Time with Brian. We're talking about what's going on in the news that's getting you either excited or grinding your gears. You know, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It's very, very disheartening. I was reading the Craig Calcaterra Cup of Coffee newsletter. Yeah. Highly recommend. It's a baseball newsletter, but the guy also was a former lawyer and has a lot of political opinions. So yeah, it's baseball and politics all in one and some social commentary. It's great. Yeah. But he had pointed out that 5 of the 6 conservative justices were put in by presidents who lost the popular vote and were put in by senators that, if you add them all up, were the minority of people as well through the Electoral College and things like that. And basically, 5 out of the 6 conservative senator or conservative justices were put in by the minority of the population for various reasons and things. And we're seeing how bad that can be.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, and I know we're going to have Luke Mathers on the show later on in the second hour at 11:06. And I know he wants to discuss some further things on the Supreme Court. And one of the things we talked about yesterday was the notion that everyone was so clearly convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to win the 2016 election that I'm sure that, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was like, all right, let her get into office, get 4 years in front of her. I'll retire, get my replacement, get ready, and here we go. And the moment she heard for the first time that Donald Trump was going to be our president, she said, I have made a huge mistake.
I don't know that she was on a segue like Job was, but I made a terrible mistake.
Just trying to throw envelopes into the ocean. that was a deep cut. But I mean, it's true. I mean, but we also had to come to a realization as well that even if she had retired in the last year, it wouldn't have mattered because Merrick Garland was not appointed, but he was
stonewalled.
Well, he was stonewalled, but President Obama at the time, he had recommended him to be the next Supreme Court justice. And, you know, Mitch McConnell and all his cohorts were like, I don't think so.
Yeah, that was...
It's too close to the election in 9 months.
That was absolutely political. Too close to the election, but except for the next election when we rammed one in within 2 weeks before that election. That's just political chicanery. It's political chicanery and stuff that if... I don't care who does it. It's the Supreme Court's supposed to be nonpartisan. You're supposed to call balls and strikes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can have a conservative point of view. Yes, you can have a liberal point of view. But you're supposed to call balls and strikes. And it's not like they're calling a little outside because Maddox is pitching. The pitcher's throwing it into the stands, and they're like, Leslie Nielsen, strike.
That's a very good point, which begs me to ask the question: are you more upset about current MLB umpires than the Supreme Court.
There was a White Sox game that ended on a stupid call that was awful.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly the wrong call. It was an interference call, and Andrew Vaughn was called out, and the game ended. And it was wrong. But if the umpire came out afterwards and said, I made that call based on a cricket rule in the 1830s, you'd go, that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But the stuff that Alito uses to justify, the going back on the stare decisis and also, you know, Clarence Thomas uses to go and justify, like, the gerrymandering is cool.
Yeah.
You can gerrymander based on race. You know, why don't we just get rid of districts and just have representatives based on race only.
Well, and that was one of the things I mentioned yesterday, was that it feels like they just want to push the country towards a states rights complete. That's it. It's all states rights. It's not, you know, they can say, well, it's not about race. It's not about sexual orientation or who you identify. It's the states need to be empowered. All right, cool. Then let's break up the United States of America, 50 states, and what we're gonna have Guam and Puerto Rico. They're all gonna be part and parcel partners in this. And now it's all states' rights. None of you get federal benefits. None of you get federal help. You're all on your own because you wanted to make your own decisions because you thought it was better to live in the 1860s than nearly 200 years later.
Now, if you if that's your idea and that's what you want to do,
yeah,
you're going to have to, I don't know, call a constitutional convention and restructure the freaking government.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, there's some dangers in doing it.
Absolutely.
But that's how you actually do it in a civilized democracy country type of thing that we're trying to do here. By the way, we're only a couple hundred years old, and literally every other country is much older than we are.
Oh, yeah. I've said this before many times. We are the petulant teenagers on the world superpower stage.
Yeah, but we happen to have a Ferrari and a bunch of guns.
And we don't talk to our dad that much anymore.
No. Our founding we call founding fathers when we need dad to go and take care of stuff. But then, like, you know.
You're not my real dad.
You're not my real dad. You can't tell me what to do except for when I use you to go and justify the stupid things I'm doing.
Yeah.
Founding fathers.
We got a text on the line. We got a text on the text line, I should say. Wes listening in Middleton. So good to hear Fancy Brian on the airwaves again. Love you all. But I used to set an alarm to wake up early from night shift during my COVID ICU days to listen to Luke and Brian banter at 2 p.m. Appreciate you, bud. So,
oh,
yeah,
that was very nice. Awesome.
So right now,
really appreciate that.
Right now, Brian and I are going to get up. We're going to get a snack, get some water. We're going to return. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us. We're coming back with more Fancy Brian at 10:30. We have Matthew Filipovich from Laughing Liberally joining us. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. This is Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's off today. I think if Fancy Brian Kelly, who is my guest co-host for the next half an hour or so, if we had our own cop show, this would be our theme.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Lover boy.
I can just see you like leaping and just sliding across the hood of a Trans Am.
It would have to be the hood of like a semi. Just for scale?
Oh, that would be amazing. The first two cops ever just did like our department issued semi-trailer.
Yeah, just for the size alone. That's amazing. Call it a quarter ton of fun. I've been trying to sell this for a large men show with me and another large dude for a while. And call it a quarter ton of fun.
Well, we are back. And if you want to be part of the show, you can call us at 855-752-4842. That is 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can join us on the live stream and make a comment on the live stream. That live stream is going on right now on Facebook. It's going on YouTube, and it's also going on Twitter or X or whatever you call it. I don't really care. It's just a place where I throw thoughts into a vacuum and bots come back and say, you're dumb.
It's just awkward. There's nothing else to say about it, but it's awkward. It's like changing the Sears Tower to Willis Tower. Yeah. I totally understand it's the Willis Tower, and that's totally it, but it's just.
Calvin, you get my wife on the line. He just said that. Brian, who is a certified Cubs fan, just said it's called the Willis Tower.
Yeah.
Every time we pass it, she goes, that's a Sears Tower. I'm like, you need to let certain things go.
Well, when you called something the world's tallest building for a really long time, and a lot of people like Guinness Book of World Records, yeah, things like that, just think about what's the world's tallest building. And everyone on the tip of their tongue was Empire State Building for a while, and then it's Sears Tower. Those are the two things that come to mind. Like, we're going to leave the 11 out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I completely lost train of thought. I thought of 9/11, my God.
He's going right back to a quarter ton of fun. All right. We were talking about the things that are on Fancy Brian's mind, but we also got a call, one of our favorites, Jack from Merrimack. Jack, how are you doing this morning? Welcome to Matt and Aaron Air.
Thank you. So one of the problems that our founding fathers were concerned about, and I've also seen numerous works of fiction and also factual works, histories and such, one of the concerns that people seem to have had is that as a democracy, the people who are in a minority could be subject to the what they call the tyranny of the majority. Unfortunately, this has been turned upside down, been turned on its head, primarily due to the electoral college system. And it's even really worse because really, due to the distribution of the votes in the states, only maybe a half dozen states actually determine who's going to be the president, regardless of what the majority vote is. So what we have started here, and if Trump ever gets in, we'll see it really come down. If you know what's happening with Project 2025, mm-hmm. we're seeing the start of a tyranny of the minority. And we saw that in Wisconsin for 13 years, and it was not pleasant, but if you look at the some of the ideas in Project 2025, everything from taking over the civil service system and installing lackey generals to lead our armed forces, to making sure that the results of scientific findings of government agencies are in accordance with conservative mm-hmm. principles. Whatever in the heck that means as a scientist, I would really wonder about it.
You're exactly right, Jack. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Always love hearing from you. I mean, it's true. It's Wisconsin's been its own little bubble for the past decade and a half. And as we feel like it's starting to thaw and we're coming out of it with the maps being redistricted and, you know, Tony Evers being very, very deliberate on what he vetoes, what he passes, and, you know, winning re-election pretty handily, in my opinion, against Tim Michaels, it feels like we're coming out of some sort of haze. I don't want the whole state to walk out of that haze right into a giant United States of America size haze. And bringing up something like Project 2025, Jack, thank you very much. We've talked about that before. If you haven't seen it, I would say read it, but it's like 900 pages and it's frightening because it's not about a conservative vision for America. It's a edict coming from high above saying we're going to change things fundamentally, drastically. And if you're not along for the ride, you don't like the results then.
That's the thing. Yeah. What are you going to do with the people that disagree? And there's no actual answer for them because I don't like, this is why I dislike the tyranny of the minority. And I understand. I'll call founding fathers again. I totally understand the reason that you do not want the majority to always rule, and you do want the voice of the minority to be heard. I'm not trying to silence anyone.
Yeah.
But I definitely need to have even competitive districts as much as possible, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not even going to use a Republican-Democrat issue. I'm going to talk about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders went against Hillary and he went against Biden, and he made a really significant dent, but not enough to win, clearly. I'm not arguing whether he should or shouldn't win. We can go, that's a different talk. The point is that he made such a dent that the other candidate had to adopt some of those policies in order to succeed, in order to move forward together with that party.
Yeah.
With Republican Democrat, if you have a Republican Democrat that has like an even amount of people, they actually have to be sane. They have to be more sane mm-hmm. because you have to bring over people from the other side, just independent voters. You have to make sure that you're more towards the center. And even voting districts make things a little bit more towards the center.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want to get to, because I would love to have a policy discussion over what we should do with the roads. And I'd like to hear the liberal version of that. I like to hear the conservative portion of that. But right now, we have people who are like, let's fix the roads. And we have people who are like, sky roads.
Let's sell the roads to the highest bidder, and then they can take care of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, what will happen to those who disagree? I mean, we've made ourselves very aware. We've made ourselves very visible in what we believe. And we will be seen as the dissenting. And I don't want to paint any sort of dystopian picture of what's going to happen, because that's, you know, I'm going to go see Mad Max, but I don't want to live in it. But my question is to those who support Donald Trump, who support this mega movement, when will it be that it's too much for you? Or when will it be where you're no longer good enough? You're no longer as devout as they say. Because remember, there have been tons of people who've come along the way with him, and they've disagreed. They've had differing opinions and different ideas, and they've walked away saying, I can't do this anymore. And he has crushed them under his feet in the eyes of his beholders. And we thought that they were on board with him. And at some point, you're no longer going to be good enough. What's going to happen to you then?
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
And it depends on how much power one has and how insane you want to go. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, yeah. That's a long, dark discussion.
Yeah.
And
but we're going to lighten things up with Matthew Filipovich next from Laughing Liberal.
That guy.
We have the news coming up. Stick around, listen to the news, and then come back to us. We love having you here on a Friday afternoon, listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Greg Bach. Stick around. Back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg. Is Greg Box sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off today. And I gotta say, thank you, Calvin, so much for playing that rousing song from Biggie Smalls, aka the Notorious B.I.G.
I enjoy it when you call me Large Father. Place your hands above your head and display some air in a circular motion, as if you had no concern over the matter.
Okay, we get it. You took a comedy writing class once. All right, fine. You are listening to Matt.
I stole that totally.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. A couple of things before we get into with our guest. If you want to get a hold of us, you can call 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. You can join us on the live stream on YouTube, on Twitter, as well as Facebook. And then also, if you have a story, a guest, a topic, something you want us to talk about on the show, you can absolutely email us. Email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. We've done that before. We've had people call in or email us and say, hey, I got a great person you should talk to, or a story that's not being discussed, and we've talked about it. So without any further ado, though, we have a guest here in this fine, fine program. He is a comedian. He is a satirist, and he is the host of the Laughing Liberally Show in Milwaukee, which will be taking place on June the 8th, which is a Saturday night. Please welcome to the program, Mr. Matthew Filipovich. Matthew, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you all doing? Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're doing great. It's wonderful. It's a Friday. It's a holiday weekend. We are going to enjoy. We're going to relax, but we're going to remember. We'll talk about that more later, but it's great to have you on the show to talk about what you do in the community with regard to comedy. And let's start with something that you don't see every day with regard to our scene here in Milwaukee, which is anyone who carries the term satirist to their name and their label. You consider yourself, I've watched you do comedy, but you consider yourself a satirist. What do you delineate between, you know, someone like me who is I'm a stand-up comedian, I'm a sketch writer, but I would never consider myself a satirist. I feel like that's almost like a podium or a petulant, words are tough.
Pedestal.
Thank you. Pedestal, you have to read.
Pedestalodium.
Pedestalodium, thank you very much, of the Latin root. What to you makes a satirist? Why do you say you are a satirist?
It's really to make myself feel more important than everybody else.
Yes, exactly. That's
the only reason.
It really is the only reason. but I I believe what I do is kind of specific.
Yeah.
And so I don't really consider myself just merely a comedian. Mm-hmm. I am a comedian.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of, at a certain point, I decided to sort of label myself into a little narrower thing, just so people who come to see the show know what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel it's sort of like truth in advertising. And, you know, the difference between like, but some of the stuff, you know, I've seen your act a bunch of times, Greg. You definitely have some aspects of your act that would be satire, right? Because mm-hmm. what is satire if not using comedy to make some kind of political or social point? Like yeah. that is this sort of the basic definition of it. And so you definitely have that as part of your act.
I'm a satirist, Brian.
Well, yep.
I like to think of myself as a satyr, but that's me.
Whatever.
But so yeah, it really is just a way of just sort of like making sure people understand coming into seeing me or seeing Laughing Liberally that they're going to be seeing political or social material. And yeah. I just feel, and it's sort of something to talk about too. It's like a way to, yeah. And again, I put my little pinky up. I play the grand piano and get really fancy talking about it.
I use the bigger words for comedy. Mm-hmm. And thank you for saying that. Cause for me as a comedian, I mean, I have one foot in the political social world, especially with this work we do now, but just in my prior lives of all the other jobs, I've had a lot of jobs.
Same.
But I've never considered myself any sort of like political comedian because, you know, I feel like to be a really effective political comedian, you have to walk that fine line of what do I want to talk about? Who do I want to affect and how do I be funny at the same time? And they do not always line up. And a friend of mine who is a very funny comedian in New York named Hari Kondabolu, he's asked me once, he goes, why don't you talk about politics more on stage? I said, well, when I get really into it, I stop being funny and I just start yelling at them and they don't find that amusing. It's true because I don't really work on the politics side of the jokes. So then I just start ranting and raving and I'm like, oh, I'm lecturing these people and they didn't pay $5 for this.
But
so,
but I've found like one of the best things bits of advice I ever heard from a comedian was from Teller.
Yeah.
He talks, yeah, by the way. It's an act, turns out. I asked him, I'm like, give me some advice. He said, find out who you are to your audience.
Yeah.
And that ranting thing I found really works for me. People love it. Like when I'm really actually angry and going off on stuff, I get the funniest reactions because I just swear a lot and say a lot of stupid things. And I know that I'm also performing and trying to let off steam at the same time as getting really angry. So it's very interesting that you say when I get on a rant, it doesn't work, but for me, it doesn't. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
there's a balance to it too, right?
Yes.
It's like you have to be funny, but I think generally speaking, audiences can tell when you care about something.
Yeah.
And if as a performer or a radio host or any type of artist, if you care about something, that is inviting them into care too, because they're living through your perspective, they're experiencing your perspective, right? And so but yeah, and also sometimes like, you know, I'll be up there ranting on something on stage and it's just like, and it just depresses the audience. It's like, oh man, I should have come up with a better joke to this. It's like, it definitely happens. And especially like what's weird about doing like kind of political comedy is the shelf life off on the stuff is short.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
A lot of times,
yeah.
Like, so we have Laughing Liberally every month here in Milwaukee and, you know, X amount of my act every month I'm writing. You know, I do about 10 minutes at the top of every show. Mm-hmm. I try to shoot for at least 5 or 6 minutes of new material every month about kind of responding to what's happened. You know, the dumb stuff that Donald Trump said, the dumb stuff Eric Covey said, the dumb stuff Ron Johnson said. You know, it's all this like the dumb things that are going on, having some kind of comedic response to that. But, you know, then, you know, I don't know, like I can't even remember now. The people who are running for governor against Evers, I don't make jokes about them anymore, thankfully. all the
horrible
Republicans
who have lost.
You don't need
fresh Tim Michaels jokes?
That's Matthew, it, Tim Michaels.
You
I don't even remember, right?
And that's the funny thing, too, is when you do political comedy, is like you're in the moment, you're like, I'm so well-informed. I'm so in the know. I know about politics and policy. And then like a month later, you're like, wait, who is that person? I don't remember who.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's for me personally as a stand-up. What I do now is I like to just throw little like tags in there that it shows you what I believe. I don't want to say that, you know, left, right, center, or in between, but I have opinions, clearly. And they fall in a certain line. And I just let you know through little tags and drops in my stand-up. And I think, Brian, what you're talking about, absolutely. When I get on a tear in public, like in a room with people, that's one thing, but it's also about venue.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if I'm going to do political comedy, I want it to be crafted well. And that's one thing that you do. And especially, I don't want to just talk about Laughing Liberally as well as your stand-up, but you also have a sketch comedy team that you've had for a while. Yeah, and they are? Tell the audience.
The Sketch Comedy Group is the Accountants of Homeland Security. And just so you know, we're currently crafting our... They do sketches throughout every Laughing Liberally show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially, what they come on is like... Laughing Liberally is essentially it's a live stand-up show, but then we have different accountants coming on mm-hmm. that playing different like right-wing characters. So there'll be Eric Hovde's spokesperson. There'll be Tim Michael's spokesperson half a year ago, right? But then we actually do a full sketch show once a year and sometimes a couple times a year. And currently we're writing a new show that's happening in September at the Interchange called Civil War Part 2. And so it is, and I'm telling you, we're so excited about it. It is literally like this, it's like a Ken Burns style documentary on the second Civil War. So that
I'm writing you today that I love you, Greg, 1862.
It's a lot of it's that, like, I'll give you the very beginning, like, we were kind of watching some of the actual Ken Burns documentary to kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? And like the beginning of it is just like this sort of dry poem at the beginning. I can't remember who it's by, but some poet, you know, one of them white dudes,
Shelby Foote. He's always on that show.
Frost.
But so it actually might be Frost, actually. But we're going to like open with this very solemn poem, and it's just going to be, I don't need no civil war. It feeds the rich while it buries the poor. Axl Rose. <You
know? laughs> Axl Rose, 1991.
Exactly. What's so civil about war anyway?
Mm-hmm. That was my next question. Is Civil War II going to be a direct sequel to the actual war, the newest movie Civil War, or, you know, Captain America Civil War? You have so many options. There's so many civils war.
This is that like attorney general,
exactly.
Attorney general, right? General. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
It is technically the second American Civil War, the idea of a bunch of essential like MAGA people who are not happy with things. And it is really, really funny. Like what we've come up with is like hysterical. So it's not a depressing show. Cause like the idea, I mean, I saw the Civil War movie recently, and it's pretty depressing, right?
Yeah.
It's very visceral. Mm-hmm. Ours is not like that. It's not really about like death. It's really just about like dumb right wingers, making fun of dumb right wingers who don't believe in democracy and are willing to like do really stupid things to show how much they don't care about democracy or basic human decency.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, when that movie came out, that's the Civil War film that was recently released, that people were like, are you going to go see it? I'm like, I don't know if I want to. I still haven't. I'll probably watch it when it's on streaming. It's probably there now. But like, it's just that notion of like, I really don't want this movie to be in any way, shape or form prophetic.
Yeah.
At all. Like in its end game, if I should say.
I actually went and saw it just because we were writing a show about the Civil War and I kind of felt I needed to be informed about it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it's not a horrible movie. It doesn't really have much of a, like, it's really much about like, I guess my main takeaway was like, man, it would be really, really bad if we had a civil war.
It turns out, hey guys, you know,
it's bad, right?
You know, it would suck. Civil war. You know, it wouldn't suck. Exactly. Free shrimp. Oh no. Red Lobster closed. Darn it.
Well,
yeah.
Which might actually be the turning point that causes the Civil War, not having Lobster Fest.
I think a lot of it is down at the Pick and Save. You can go and get that shrimp cocktail for like $6. It's pretty good.
Well, now I'm just hungry. So I want to talk to you more about this in when we get over the break about Laughing Liberally, because I've done that show a few times. It's a lot of fun. It's usually really well attended. The times I've been there, people are really into it, having a great time. And I want to talk more about the beginnings of it, at least in Milwaukee, because I know it's a nationwide thing.
Yeah, it's nationwide. It's under the umbrella of Living Liberally, okay. Which is an entirely volunteer-run organization. The one people are, we're most famous for Drinking Liberally, which are our social clubs. I actually host Drinking Liberally Milwaukee every month, which is just people coming together and hanging out. I mean, this is on Civic Air, so we're all around Wisconsin in this show, right? But like, there's Drinking Liberallys in Waukesha, in West Dallas, in Kenosha, pretty much all around the state. We have these like social club chapters that people, just lefty people, come and get together and have a drink and hang out and talk about politics. So people should check out livingliberally.org and see if there's a chapter near you. And if there's not a chapter near you, start one, and you can have a Drinking Liberally, hanging out with like-minded people and having a bev.
Yeah, and you never know who you're going to run into. You could run into Dom. You could run into Crude. I know they show up there a lot. You know, you don't know.
Dom's been out to the one in Milwaukee and Waukesha. Before,
he's a regular.
He's a regular Drinking Liberally.
He's the Brady Street Jesus. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah,
I did not know that he had that moniker.
Uh huh.
Whoa! I don't go to Brady Street anymore. I'm not cool enough.
Well, I mean,
that Notorious B.I.G. song that Calvin played up top. That's the last time I listened to rap music. It was like 1993.
Really?
It just got. I'm not cool enough, Brian Kelly.
I don't know how you correlate, you know, rap music with being cool. I mean, hip hop has kind of taken over as the, you know, pop genre, but it doesn't mean that you're not cool.
Thanks, Brian Kelly. I appreciate you.
It's not the measure of being cool.
What is it?
Not sweating, because I am very warm in this area.
Well, we're gonna let Brian.
It's only an art form that's been around for 50 years now. So
that's not for me to worry about. We're gonna let Brian air dry off a little bit. We're gonna pay some bills and grab a snack. But don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with Matthew Filipovich, talk some more about Laughing Liberally, happening on June 8th at Comedy Sports. Stick around. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the homies getting money, playing fellas like dummies. In your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby.
Check it out. Yeah, yeah. Puff Daddy. Biggie Small.
Luke and Harry in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is off today. We'll be back. We'll both be back on Tuesday. We're taking a little long vacation. You'll hear a best of on Monday, but we'll be back on. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'm totally wrong, Brian Kelly. We'll be back on Wednesday because Joe Sobecki is sitting in on Tuesday.
Oh, you got the Joe Z.
Got Joe Z. No relation to Jay Z. He'll be here on Tuesday. We'll be back on Wednesday. But if you would like, head over to Civic Media's website, or actually WAUK's website, WAUKradio.com. You can click on the big deals tab and you can get yourself some amazing deals. They're going around local businesses, buying gift certificates for, you know, like a $40 gift certificate for $35. Oh my gosh, it's a big deal, Brian. Just like you're a big deal.
You can save a lot of money in these big deals and people like them. Mm-hmm. Go to walkradio.com, check out the big deals tab and see what you have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you can get, a lot of really cool things for a lesser price than you would normally pay for them.
I just said all that. Did you just Brian-splain?
No. Yes, actually, I did.
Okay, great.
I was just.
So, guys, I don't know if you've heard about these deals, right? So you can actually.
Who's that? That's the one and only Matthew Filipovich, who is our guest today on the show.
I love this man.
He's great. He's wonderful. I knew he was going to jump in. We put the ball on the tee. Actually, that was more like a fastball.
That was a one, a two, ooh, and then bam, he's right there, comedian with the three. That's a satirist for you.
Now, welcome back to the show. We welcome Matthew Filipovich to the show here. He's our guest for this half hour. Now, we mentioned it earlier, but I want to dig into it a little bit deeper with Laughing Liberally. Tell people who have never been to a Laughing Liberally show what they would come to expect. Because, comedy show, when people see comedy, there's a whole bunch of ideas they can have. And you are a specific brand of show. There's a lot of entertainment. So if you could just kind of walk us through what a live show is like.
So Laughing Liberally Milwaukee is a monthly progressive political stand-up comedy show featuring usually about five stand-ups, including myself. So I host the show and produce the show, but you'll see an amazing diverse lineup of like comics from Milwaukee, comics from Madison, comics from Chicago, yeah. Kind of the surrounding area. Generally speaking, we're one of the more diverse shows out there. Like I sort of have a rule when booking, I try to only have one straight cis white dude per show other than myself. And so it's a really diverse perspectives when you come and see the show. Like this upcoming month on June 8th, we have Jason Hillman, Marcos Lara, Sean Vasquez, Alice Posard making her Laughing Liberally debut.
Wonderful.
We also have sketches from the Accounts of Homeland Security, who we said earlier come on and play like right-wing characters trying to justify some horrible thing that happened, right? Like, so, you know, Eric Hovde says something stupid and then they come and just try to justify it. But we also have, in the middle of the show, we do a like daily show style interview with a local activist, which is one of the cooler parts of the show, where we have like someone around the area who's doing, you know, again, we're just dumb comedians telling jokes. So people are actually doing real awesome work. This month, it's Rocky Ailman from Your Move MKE, which is an awesome, we're talking about hip hop. There's a local Milwaukee group that uses hip hop to make the community better, which are amazing. But yeah, it's a great show. Tickets are only $8. We keep them really, really cheap.
That's an amazing, Matthew, we need to have an intervention.
Yes.
No one would be upset.
Young man, you need to make some more money.
No one would be upset if you made them $10. I'm just saying.
They could push for $20. I'm just saying.
I'm just giving them 2 cents.
I'm gonna say we easily give $9 worth of entertainment every show. So
hey, that's, you know what, I like that. That's good.
It's like a WAUKradio.com big deal. Sorry, I just had to do it. All right,
it's a good callback.
Thank you.
I said the word callback.
Yeah, that's comedy and radio. So like, and that's the thing I want to focus on too, is the interview. Is I really appreciate that as someone who, you know, I have very deep interest in not only just social issues, but specifically what's happening in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. You've had amazing guests on there. And what's really fun about the interview is you manage to be light in your personality. You're not like, it doesn't go from like comedy to like, all right, let's talk about important things. It still manages
to bring down the lights and
play
some foreboding music.
Everybody lit a cigarette.
Yeah. But you manage to keep that same sense of entertainment while talking about serious topics. And then you jump right back into the comedy and you don't really lose anyone, because I mean, granted, I don't think I've ever seen anyone give like a depressing interview at one of your shows, but they're talking about heavy duty topics with regard to racism, sexism, homophobia, you know, housing, and you know, all these things happening in our state specifically, and a lot of Milwaukee, that it, I'm going to use the term again, it's a very interesting wire to try to traipse upon to make sure you keep the comedy going in the middle of like, hey, I'm going to throw some message at you. Boom, there you go.
It is. It's hard. I always feel the comic who has to come after the interview, we always put an accountant sketch right after the interview. There's a design of it of like, especially for the next comedian, that I'd have to come on after something that could be a little heavy.
Oh, yeah.
So we always put a sketch there because they're part of the actual show. So it's like, okay, we're going to give something to give a little bump for the next comic so they can come back. But honestly, our audiences are so, generally speaking, you know, every show has clunkers every now and then, but our audiences are just so cool. They're smart, they're informed. And also kind of like, when it's even like for the comedians themselves who come on, like they're not, everyone's just doing Trump and Hovde jokes. Like, so it's like, when we talk about, like it's a political show, but politics is everything, right? It's political and social material. So it can be either their aspect on race, it can be their aspect on, you know, homophobia, transphobia, just their personal experiences, because the personal is political, folks, but it is actually true when it comes to this type of thing. So it's like these comics telling their experiences is actually a really political show. And it's a great time for $8, second Saturday of the month.
There you go.
Every month. We have one on the 2 days before the RNC starts too, which will be a lot of fun. So if you don't make June, come to both, because there's only $8 and it's different comics. But we have 2 days before the RNC. It's going to be a wild show.
Yeah. I have a feeling, we were talking about that yesterday, I feel like the RNC is really dropping the ball on their planning, and they're going to show up. I said, it's going to be one of two things. They're going to show up the last 2 weeks before it starts and say, yeah, we need stuff. And people are going to be like, no, or someone's going to say, I booked everything in Milwaukee, Oregon. Oops. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find tickets if they want to buy them online?
LaughingLiberallyMKE.com is the place to go. Or just search Laughing Liberally. It'll come up at LaughingLiberallyMKE.com.
Matthew Filipovich, comedian, satirist, host of Laughing Liberally. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. And have a great show on the 8th of June at Comedy Sports. We'll be back. Brian Kelly, you're out of here, aren't you?
I got to run.
Oh, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thanks
as well.
Thanks for having me.
But when we come back, we're going to have Luke Mathers here as well, the handsome and capable executive producer of Civic Media, Luke Mathers. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.